Hello, hello to the podcast Agroecology World and this 11th episode. This is your host, Rob Clouson, a.k.a. Dr. K. And welcome and thank you again for joining me on this podcast as I've had a long silence since the last episode about the second Agroecology Europe Forum in Crete, Greece. That was released in October of 2019. If you're not new to this podcast, then you know that my podcast is being made while on world travels with my wife, Skye. For the last few months, we have accelerated the pace of our travels and have been meeting the people, cuisines, and cultures of several countries in the Balkans. For example, Bulgaria, Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Albania, as well as a visit to the country of Portugal. However, our pace has not facilitated me spontaneously arranging interviews with worthy agroecology projects in these regions, especially the many examples of agritourism that I learned about, and which I definitely will feature in future episodes. Now we have arrived at the final destination of our current world travels. That is the beautiful country of Ireland. Our intent has been that Ireland, the land of my wife's ancestors, would be the launch base for more long-term stays in the different countries of Europe. And of course, a new journey for many, many future episodes of this podcast. In fact, this podcast begins my new European journey and took place in the Midlands of Ireland. As always, I want to repeat that the intention of my podcast is to share with you some of my meetings with outstanding practitioners and communities of agroecology and sustainable food systems in these fascinating countries that we're visiting. My goal for this podcast is to introduce you to the actual folks and places so that you can hear from their own voices of their ideas and experiences, keeping it informal but informative and light but enlightening. You know, this episode is very special for a couple of reasons. First, the topic of this episode is the community concept in agroecology. I have included it in past episodes, but this time I want to expand your appreciation of it. To this end, if you haven't listened to my past episodes, I highly encourage you to check them out. Second, it's now March 2020, and Ireland, along with the rest of the world, is in the grips of the coronavirus, a.k.a. COVID-19 pandemic. This emergency, just like climate change, is testing communities worldwide, especially their resilience on many, many levels. This episode features an interview on the Clough Jordan Community Farm in Ireland. Now, before we jump into this episode, I also wanted to provide you with the background information on the community concept used in agroecology, in order to expand its relevance to the interview. 1. Agroecology these days is being described as integrating three distinct activities in promoting sustainable food systems and agriculture systems that are environmentally sound, economically viable, and socially responsible. So, for example, you have the scientific discipline of agroecology, then you have a set of practices in agroecology, and finally, a social movement in agroecology. 2, each of these agroecology activities provide examples that include the community concept. For example, the science of agroecology describes a cropping system as a community formed by a complex of interacting populations of crops, weeds, microorganisms, insects, and other animals, as well as the producers themselves. These interactions produce new ecological characteristics called emergent properties, which exist only at the community level. These emergent properties cannot be fully explained in terms of the properties at the population or individual levels. In both natural and agro ecosystems, community-level phenomena are of critical importance in a system's resilience, productivity, and dynamic functioning. For example, there's nutrient cycling, overyielding of intercrops, homeostasis of pest populations, resilience to disturbance, biodiversity, conservation, and many more. In the set of practices found in agroecology, the community concept can be found in the practices in many alternative, traditional, and indigenous agriculture systems. For example, but not limited to, multiple cropping and polycultures, agroforestry, integrated livestock crop agroecosystems, traditional home forest gardens, farmscaping. And with the social movements of agroecology, many community-based initiatives exist. For example, farmer-driven participatory education and research programs, community food systems, and food policy councils. One initiative especially pertinent to this podcast is that of the model of the Community-Supported Agriculture, aka CSA. Borrowing from the website of CSA Network Ireland, community-supported agriculture is defined as a partnership between a group of people and a farmer. The members receive a share of the CSA when they commit to pay an agreed fee to the farmer for the duration of a season, and in return they get healthy local food produced in an agroecological way. This partnership allows everyone to share both the rewards and also the challenges that our independent farmers face each and every year. The CSA model is a way to organize food distribution systems. This is more than a model to feed you with healthy local organic food, though. In fact, it's a commitment and encourages learning and community engagement. As I've mentioned in past episodes, I am retired from my career as a sustainable agriculture, natural resources extension educator. In my education programs, I always encourage the role of personal growth in learning about agroecology and sustainable food systems development. For example, I taught courses on small farming, market gardening, and urban agriculture that promoted the crucial first step of identifying one's core personal and community values before learning about the practices and businesses of specific agriculture production systems and enterprises. Then the idea is to integrate these values into the vision, mission, goals, and strategies of all of one's chosen farming and business plans in order to strive for sustainability. I learned of this teaching approach from the lessons learned and shared by other sustainable small farming education programs, which are far more wise than I am. And interestingly, the site of this episode's interview, that is the Cloud Jordan Community Farm, is located on an intentional community, that is the Cloud Jordan Eco Village, that is built upon shared values of its members and residents. For example, from their website, here are some highlights of their value system and history. One, their mission statement is to serve as an education, enterprise, and research service resource for all. Two, their strategy is to be a center of excellence for awareness, raising, and education in the areas of energy conservation and production, reduction and recycling of resources, sustainable livelihoods, sustainable local food production, broad community understanding of the converging environmental, social, and economic challenges and the need to develop resilience as the key response. Three, founder members of the Eco Village first came together in 1999 to incorporate Sustainable Projects Ireland, which trades as The Village. The Village is a company limited by guarantee, but with articles of association, ensuring that the group operates in much the same way as a cooperative. In the year 2003, members of the Eco Village adopted the idea of shared purposes and principles, shared out responsibilities, Since then, members have adopted a revolutionary organizational system which gives maximum autonomy to all participants. 5, a diverse group of people have joined the Eco Village. People from all walks of life, from all over the country and abroad, young and old, families and single people, all working together to create an enriching place to live. People join for a variety of reasons. Many are attracted to the community sharing, others to green living and food production, others to the democratic and inclusive nature of the community. And finally, 6, in order to build their community's resilience and adaptability, they have nurtured relationships with stakeholders at the local, regional, national, and international levels, and to innovate. They have a shared belief that their approach to building a resilient economy sustained by local enterprises, ecotourism, social entrepreneurs, and strategic partners will demonstrate a new way of living in rural areas. The Cloud Jordan Community Farm is a significant expression of these shared values and initiatives of the Cloud Jordan Eco Village. For example, from their website, here are some of their highlights of their activities. 1, the Cloud Jordan Community Farm is based on the model of a community-supported agriculture farm and is the first and largest CSA scheme in Ireland. 2, the farm is a cross-community initiative with over 70 households currently subscribed to it. 3, their mission statement includes the following values: to grow, distribute, and consume food from a local member-owned farm, to provide a wide variety of seasonal vegetables, salads, herbs, and fruits to farm members at a local distribution point, to grow organic food without the use of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, or artificial fertilizers, to grow heritage varieties, to save their own seeds, and to enrich the soil using biodynamic methods, to provide local employment and include a variety of volunteer effort. Finally, to be an educational and social resource for the local and wider community. After a short musical interlude, we will listen to my conversation with Kevin Dudley, the manager of the Cloud Jordan Community Farm. Incidentally, I found out a wonderful connection with Kevin to my academic past at the Center for Agroecology and Sustainable Food Systems at the University of California, Santa Cruz, aka known as the Center. The mission of the Center is to research, develop, and advance sustainable food and agriculture systems that are environmentally sound, economically viable, socially responsible, non-exploitative, and that serve as a foundation for future generations. Kevin told me that he completed the apprenticeship training program at the center. The apprenticeship program in ecological horticulture is a hands-on educational program of the center focusing on practical training in organic gardening and small-scale farming, as well as increasing awareness of the dynamic connections between food and social systems. The Cloud Jordan Community Farm is located in the county of Tipperary, which is in the Midlands of Ireland. I was able to visit with my wife, Skye, in mid-February 2020.
Hello, hello. So here we are for this episode of Agroecology World, and I'm really, really fortunate to be in a very special place in Ireland at the Cloud Jordan Community Farm, which is actually part of the Cloud Jordan Eco Village. And I'm here with the farm manager, Kevin Dudley, and we're going to talk for a spell about how things are going here at the community farm, the vision, and, well, anything that Kevin has on his mind, quite frankly. because this is a really inspiring project that's going on here, and I think it has a lot to do with how agroecology, in its broadest sense, is able to bring some solutions. So, hi, Kevin. Thanks for agreeing to talk with us today. So, Kevin, maybe let's give our listeners an idea of where we are and your role here, and we'll take it from there.
Well, John, we're in North Tipperary, which is like in the middle of Ireland. Geologically, we're an old sea basin, and so the land is very limey. The farm has been going now for about 10 years. I've been here about eight and a half years. We feed about 100 people, vegetables. We did have pigs once upon a time, and we also have other farm ventures. We have a couple who do oyster mushrooms and hen's eggs, and so our members get them slightly cheaper. And we're still going after 10 years, which is kind of is amazing when I think back. A lot of the time, I don't think people realize how much it takes to produce food, especially when you're trying to create the farm. And, you know, it's like trying to get the rock rolling. Once the rock's rolling, then things are easier. So I'd say we're just on the edge of the rock rolling really freely at the moment after 10 years. Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Now, this is a community-supported agriculture farm. Yeah. And how does that work into the overall context of the eco-village? You know, is it something that was always originally the vision, or did it come in later? And how do you see it working? And maybe a little bit about how do you see where it's going?
Okay. Yeah, the whole concept of community-supported agriculture, it wasn't really heard of much 10 years ago, so we were fairly out there, I suppose. What we have is our members get charged so much a week for the running of the farm, and then we harvest twice a week, and whatever's in season goes into the coach house. And then we decided right at the beginning that we weren't going to have a box scheme, because the box schemes seemed too near what the supermarkets were doing, and we wanted to be creating something different. So we wanted to put the onus back onto the consumer to be able to share with other consumers. So we take whatever there is to be harvested twice a week. It goes to an old coach house, and there people can go in and they can take whatever they want. If we have something that's in short supply, it goes on a table telling them it's short supply. And just to get people engaged again in their food, where their food comes from, to be able to talk about their food. It's going not too bad at the moment. It was dodgy there at the beginning, because you seem to accept that people will share, and they will share, but the actual paying for things puts a price on what they get, so people can get a bit, well, I want more of that this week because I paid my money. But it is changing now, because we now have a coordination group, so it's not just the farmer running the farm and everything that comes from it. We have a coordination group, and we have some people there who kind of help run the distribution center. They send out emails with recipes and things on it. And so, as time goes on, it also kind of shows itself, because they can come down on the farm anytime they want. We don't put any pressure on people to be here. So it stops all of that judgment if people can't, because they're working, they can't work on the farm. It's going fairly well. If the weather would settle down to a bit of a stable pattern again, it would be nice. But we'll take what we can get, really.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I was fortunate enough to attend a small farmers meeting here from the Irish Organic Farming Association. And it was very obvious in that meeting that your farm, this location, is really a very important resource center for that community. And I know that education is a huge component of the eco-village, and you've got some of that happening to help you manage this farm, right? And so I guess my question is, all of these ancillary activities that are part of doing the community farm, maybe talk to us about some of those. Who are the partners that you have that help you, expand as time goes on what this farm is capable of showing to the public and providing the people that are part of the eco-village?
So we have eight young people. They're all under 30. We have two different swathes of four people come in twice a year. They do a whole year that they're here, and they're from the European Solidarity Corps, which is a European cultural exchange. They don't come necessarily here to farm, but that's what they end up doing. But it's not hard work. They're great people. They bring loads of variety to the area because they're from all over Europe. So at the moment we have people from Belgium and France and Italy, from Norway and from Bulgaria. We have Russian people, with Turkish people. So it just, and they're not far away from their past. Nobody is. We're all like our grandparents or our great grandparents were farmers or growers of some sort. So I find young people are really starting to, their lives, they're starting to look more about what they can do with their lives rather than, oh, I'll just get a job. They're very inspiring and very inspired, and each year it's their farm. And I suppose this is what I got from being in Santa Cruz, really, was just the power of people on the land. You know, you can have a really good time, you can enjoy it, you're out there in the fresh air, and just coming together as a group to do something which you're trying to create that's good, and also trying to show other people that it's a good thing to do as well. You know, this is the future of our food and our farming, to be constantly inquiring and being on the edge and having young people who they naturally have this inquisitiveness about them. You know, they're not stuck in a paradigm in most cases. So they're our main kind of force on the farm. And then we have the members, of course. We can call on the members at any time. And we did have woofers once upon a time, but with the eight guys we got working for us, we don't have any woofers at the moment. But it's trying to make the thing more egalitarian, that everybody should have access to the land and to be able to grow food. And people do get it. Once they've been down a few times and they do it, they do get it. They do get the connection about how good they feel about being out and about being constructive. You know, when you plant a seed in the ground and something grows and then you get to eat it, that's what a lot of people are missing now in society.
Yeah, I think just the name itself, Community Farm, really speaks speaks to the potential of what can be done with getting back to a community approach, an ecological approach. Economics, of course, is also important, but the environment and the community is also important. And so looking into your crystal ball and looking at some additional capacities that this community farm could be providing, do you see, maybe you can tell us a little bit about one or two of them that you may realize that maybe additional partnerships or resources would be necessary to help this project even expand further?
Yeah, well, as you said before, we're part of the Eco Village here, and when they created the Eco Village, they intentionally put the Eco Village into thirds. So one third was housing, one third was forestry, and one third was a farm that they wanted specifically to be biodynamic. Well, we do practice biodynamics, but we're open to much more than just being stuck and labelled as biodynamics. And so not all of our members are from the Eco Village. We have people from the surrounding area who are members. And I think in the future, it takes a long time to become a local in Ireland. You're a blow-in for a long time, for generations. But one day, you know, to be able to encompass the whole area as a food-growing area. We were once, we have an old train station where there's two trains or three trains out of here a day. But it was essential to connect us to the rest of the world. And those trains were full of pigs once upon a time.
All right, we're back with Kevin, and we're going to wrap up our conversation. Not that it's the last word on anything that's going on here, but I hope it does entice you, whet your appetite, so to speak, to find out more about the Clough Jordan Community Farm and Eco Village. And at the end of this podcast, we'll definitely let you know how to get in touch with Kevin, and also get on the website and learn more about the community farm and Eco Village. So Kevin, we've done a pretty fair job of painting a broad strokes sort of the scope of what's going on here with the community farm and a lot of the aspirations you've had as well as achievements. So I have to ask, because a lot of projects that may be looking at similar goals that you folks have are also having to deal with external threats or trends that are going on that can be quite large challenges to the accomplishing their goals. And so maybe give us an overview of the ones that you have already overcome, as well as the ones that you're worried about for the future. And you can, go up and down the scale, how big or how small you are thinking about things in that way. And then, good. I'll get this back to you.
Okay. Well, I think one of the biggest threats for us was dealing with a community, dealing with other people, you know, and feeling that you have to always be right, and either being threatened or challenged, or, you know, and I think as you go through it all, there's a process, and you go through it all, and then you realize that it isn't everybody, it's a few people, and they're just human too, they're just like you, and so it allows you to move through things. You need to move through things. And I think that's one of the benefits of small farmers, is we move through a huge amount of obstacles. You know, every day we come down, the wind, the rain could have changed things. We could have had frosts. The plants could die. They might not grow. And we're constantly achieving and changing direction and bringing back so that we're going back in the direction that we want to go. And I've really found that out especially about farmers on the edge, edge farmers, not the big guys so much, but the smaller farmers out on the edge. They try to do things well the first time, just like our forefathers did, because you just didn't have time to keep repairing things all the time, you know. Yeah, the threats coming, I suppose, there's the whole thing of biodiversity loss, and we have seen that in our pollinators and everything, but we're trying to respond to it as well by, up in our pollinators because we need them. We save a lot of seeds, so we need pollinators around. And then the climate change as well. There's definitely something going on. It's wibbly wobbly. We're not getting proper seasons any longer, so it makes it harder to work. And I think the population that aren't farming are the ones that are stressed the most. They're kind of caught in a wake-up point where it's, what do we do? So we see a lot of protesting and things, but it's a bit ineffectual, really, trying to make politicians change. But I think that's where farmers can come in, because, again, that ability to keep changing, we can offer a positive action for people who aren't on the farm or aren't farmers, and helping us plant trees, helping us do positive things with using carbon, especially making biochar, making compost, and getting our communities, there's loads of waste streams we can all plug into, and that would be all something that would be positive. Save seeds with your community in the autumn time. Start tree nurseries in your schools and train your kids how to grow trees. That's about it, really.
Okay, all right. So, thanks again so much, Kevin. This has been wonderful learning about what you've been achieving here. So, I guess like any good interviewer, I've got to say, is there anything else you would like to say to the listeners about, thinking in terms of people that may be inspired by what you're doing here, what the Eco Village is doing, and wherever they are, tips, any inspirational thoughts you want to leave with them to think about as they progress in achieving their goals?
Yeah, I'd say even in the darkest days, try to stay positive when you're farming. It always does come round. It always does come right. People always do turn up at the right time. It's staying positive and actually, being there as a rock for your communities as well. Connecting with your community, teaching them what good food is, what good soil is, and just engaging ourselves with each other and with how we engage with nature through growing our own food and our own ecosystems. So best of luck.
Okay.
Well, there you have it, my conversation with Kevin Dudley at the Cloud Jordan Community Farm, done when my wife, Skye, and I set up residence in the lovely country of Ireland. I hope that you found it as informative and inspiring as I did. If you want further information about and to contact the Cloud Jordan Community Farm, please check out their Facebook webpage and their website at https://cloughjordancommunityfarm.ie/all-lowercase. I also wanted to provide you the websites of the aforementioned organizations in the introduction of this episode. First, the Cloud Jordan Eco Village, https://www.thevillage.ie/all-lowercase. Second, the Center for Agroecology and Sustainable Food Systems, https://cass.ucsc.edu/all-lowercase. And finally, the CSA Network Ireland, http://.communitysupportedagricultural.ie bit.ly/home, all lowercase. And last but not least, I again want to acknowledge the artist of my theme music selections for this episode of Agroecology World. That is the song Once Again by the group Hang Massive, and the song Everyone Sleeps in the Light by Joaquin Cooter. As I've mentioned before, a footnote to this acknowledgement is necessary because my theme music selections are only heard on the Anchor website of my podcast. Sorry, but I don't control this feature on the other providers of my podcast. While not essential to the content of my podcast, I do hope you may consider listening to my episodes on the Anchor website too in order to enjoy this fine music. Happy trails until we meet again at my next episode of Agroecology World. From another stop in my world travels, once again, I really want to express my appreciation to everyone's efforts in becoming regular listeners and spreading the word about Agroecology World podcast to your friends. Your participation as an active listener is critical to helping me achieve the goal of that I had starting my podcast since I retired and started my world travels with my wife, Skye. That is, I want to become a contributor in my own special way to the free exchange of ideas and contact information for worldwide groups that are leading the transition to agroecology and sustainable community food systems. Peace.